When I was in college, a long, long time ago, a friend of mine worked in the dean's office. It was a good job, paid well, and she enjoyed the work. The dean was a big man on campus. He was very popular. Wherever he went, people gathered around him. But in the office, he was always touching my friend and trying to hug her, put his arm around her, and he'd make comments about her clothing, the way she was dressed, and he just always would turn things into some kind of sexual innuendo. And she felt really uncomfortable with him. He wanted to take her to coffee and take her to lunch, and she resisted. She said no. She would turn away from him. She would tell him, what you're doing is making me uncomfortable. And he said, oh, can't you take a joke? I'm not serious. I'm just kidding around. And she asked me what she should do, but I said, I think you should tell his supervisor, who is the president of the college. And she said, well, if I do that, I'll just get fired. I mean, I don't have any power in this situation. He's got all the power. So she went on working there because she needed the job. It was good money, and she needed that. One day, he saw her in the copier room, and he went in and closed the door and pressed her up against the wall and started kissing her and groping her. And she broke away from him. She ran out of the room into the bathroom, where she broke down in tears. When she came out, she said to him, don't you ever do that to me again. And I quit right now. So I told her after this happened that she should write the president a letter or even the chair of the board of trustees. And she says, well, what good would it do? It would just be my word against his word, and he would deny everything. I don't have any power in this situation. This is back in the days before sexual harassment procedures and committees and that sort of thing. Well, it's a classic case of sexual harassment. Sexual harassment always happens when there's an imbalance of power. One person has power over the other and can act inappropriately because of that. Well, in the gospel today, Jesus tells a parable about an imbalance of power where one person has power and one person doesn't. Luke prefaces this parable by saying that it is about the need to pray always and to never lose heart. But I think that is Luke's editorial comment, and we can just let the parable speak for itself, the parable that Jesus told. And the parable goes like this. In a certain city, there was a judge who had neither fear of God or respect for any person. And in that same city, there was a widow who kept coming to him, saying, grant me justice against my opponent. Now, it doesn't say what the injustice is. I imagine somehow someone had taken advantage of the widow. You know, in those days, a widow had no power. A widow had no right to own property. Without a man to take care of her, she had no standing in society. Well, I don't know what the injustice was. Let's say maybe a distant relative of her late husband came and said, that plot of land that you've been farming belongs to me now. So move off of it. And she has no way to make a living, no way to provide for her children and herself. Now, in a patriarchal society like that, a widow may not have much power. No right to own property, and the custom is that only men can own property. But the law of Moses says that you shall care for the widow and the orphan. So she goes to the judge, the local judge, and she says, grant me justice. Give me back this land. It's not right what he's doing. The judge has no fear of God, doesn't care what anyone thinks. He says, case denied. I don't want to hear about it. He shuts the door, turns away, and he ignores her. But she doesn't give up easily. She's a persistent widow, and she keeps coming back. She keeps pounding on the door. Grant me justice against my opponent. When he goes out in the street, she yells at him, grant me justice against my opponent. He hires a bodyguard, keeps her at a distance. Doesn't matter. Whenever she sees him across the market square, she says, grant me justice against my opponent. She'll never give up. Finally, the one thing that she has is a voice. She doesn't have any power as such, but she does have a voice, and she uses her voice. And finally, he gives in. He says, this woman is driving me crazy. I don't fear God. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not doing this because someone else is forcing me to, but she's driving me crazy, so I'm going to give her what she wants just to get her out of my hair. Well, this is a parable about unequal power. The judge has all the power. The widow has no power. And Jesus tells this as a way of turning the world upside down, as he often does, showing how God cares for the vulnerable, the poor, the lost, and the lonely. Well, we're hearing a lot these days about sexual harassment. So I think this is a teachable moment. This is a time for us to think about what sexual harassment is. Our diocese has a program called Safeguarding God's People. And it is a required program for all clergy and leaders of the diocese to take. And what it talks about is how to prevent sexual harassment. And it says that sexual harassment is about respecting people's boundaries. You know, all of us have a personal boundary that what we feel comfortable with. And if we say to someone, you know, I don't feel comfortable with what you're doing, then that is our personal boundary, and you shouldn't go beyond that. Some people don't know about personal boundaries. It can be a man and it can be a woman, either way. And if they don't know about boundaries and they don't know how to respect boundaries, then they push and push and push until they get what they want. And some men are so insecure in their masculinity, they feel like they have to assert dominance over women, and so they push sexually until they get what they want. Sexual harassment awareness means to understand what those boundaries are and to respect them. Sexual harassment reinforces sexism and patriarchy, and it encourages the rape culture. You know, the culture in colleges where young men feel that they have the right to do anything to women that they can get away with. So sexual harassment is the beginning of something that's way worse. Sexual harassment, it's not about being politically correct, but it's about respecting the dignity of every human being. That's why it's important for us to be aware of this. You know, the remarkable thing about Jesus is the relationships he had with women. We see this throughout the Gospels. Jesus is not concerned about spending time with women or respecting them. The Gospel of Luke especially tells us about Jesus' relationships with women. He says that there were several women who traveled with the disciples and provided for the disciples and Jesus out of their own means. And he gives them names, Mary and Joanna and Susanna. And Luke tells a story about how Jesus heals the daughter of Jairus, this 12-year-old girl. Just the time when she's coming into puberty, he comes and lifts her up. So tender. So Women were so important to Jesus. In Luke, we hear the story of Martha and Mary, how Martha welcomed Jesus into her own home, and how Jesus allowed Mary to sit at his feet and listen, just like all the men who were there. Now, Jesus was secure in himself. He knew who he was. He had no problem being respectful to women and treating them as equals. And that's our pattern. That's what we should strive to do as well, to be so secure in our own identity that we can respect other people, no matter what sex they are. We want to teach our sons to be secure in themselves, to be confident, so that they can respect women and treat women as equals. And we want to bring up our daughters to feel confident in themselves, to learn how to keep good boundaries, and to thrive as young women. Every person is a child of God, worthy of respect. In the baptismal covenant, we are asked, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And we answer, with God's help, we will. Amen.